Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today, a fun experiment on the show. Today, we're going to let Kevin talk about auto racing, and I'm going to agree with everything he says.
10 good seconds, huh?
He's been in a really foul mood for the past, 2 to 3 weeks on the show. It's in part because of that dastardly diet they put him on. and I believe he's emotionally crawling to the finish line right now.
You know, they always say the first 5 or 10 pounds are really easy, and the last 5 or 10 pounds are really difficult. Yeah, I'm believing that without much effort whatsoever.
Okay. But we're having to live with this. I speak for the audience. We are one.
You have solidarity with the audience. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, I got a 2.5 year track record. I think so, yeah. I mean, Tim Ford got mad one day about, I think, what I said about the Steelers, but I was actually mostly just doing it to get your goat.
Well, see, Tim is a big Steeler fan as well, so, you know, I can see where that would be an issue.
Yeah. Well, it was about Seattle and the Steelers and who's more.
Yes. Who deserves more primetime games?
Although I did make a point to you, which I texted you. You notice what they did with Seattle is that they...
Well, they don't have a home game. Do they have a primetime home game?
One, the opener with Green Bay.
Okay, the opener, sorry.
They have, in their last, since 2007, every primetime home game that they've played has been decided by double digits, except for the infamous Green Bay game where the officials made the call in the end zone, the replacement officials, and suddenly the regular ones were back the next week. That's the only game in prime time that they've played that has been decided by single digits. All the other ones, regardless of opponent, including the 49ers, have been decided by double digits. And they've outscored since 2007 their opponents at home on prime time 230-68.
That does not make it entertaining television.
No, and do you think they want them? That's one of the reasons why I think they took the other three primetime games and they put them all on the road. I think it was deliberately done by the NFL for competitive reasons.
That's an interesting thought.
Dave in Sunbury on the Kevin Love Fest.
Well, actually, I can boost his morale up a little bit.
All right.
There we go. Go for it, Dave. I'm loving this. Let's go.
Kershaw's supposed to go with his last shot before he comes back. The first one went okay this weekend. Then you can have him in your fantasy.
See, I'm not doing fantasy baseball. Too many players, too many games, too confusing.
Oh, now here I thought you were going to do fantasy.
No.
I had some good words for you, buddy.
No, I'm a fantasy football guy. There's only a few games each week to follow, and only a few more, and like about a third less players, so it's much easier.
Hey, Steve, I tried.
It was worth a shot. I do appreciate the effort.
Dave, the effort, I admire the effort very, very much. But again, let's hear Kevin's explanation one more time why he won't do fantasy baseball.
Too many players, too many games.
In other words, TH, to him, it's too hard.
Too hard.
Oh, okay.
I can't deny that.
Next weekend,
Kevin,
how's that
why don't you go get
you?
Golf lessons? Why don't you get golf lessons, Kevin? I can't. It's too hard.
Well, remember the golf lessons he had before and how you guys almost died.
No. That's just a nasty rumor. Oh. Maimed, maybe, but no death.
Well, all I know about is next weekend, buddy.
Dave, three guys found religion the second they heard something clang.
I'm happy to do my part for that too. You know.
Well, I seen the Gopher crossing his chest too.
Well, I mean, Drew's not even going to play in the tournament this year. I mean, he drove him away.
Oh. Well, I got a couple of things for you, Steve, real quick, like, okay?
Yes, sir.
One is that junior college transfer. What you got information? Because I haven't seen anything
about
yet.
Basketball, about Devin Foster, the basketball transfer?
Yeah. I know he's a point guard.
Played for Vincennes University in Indianapolis. He hit 45% of his shots last year. I saw a tape of him, too. The tape I saw, he has a really decent upper body that's good enough, to, I think, to go and take the pounding in the Big Ten. He's quick. He can get to the bucket. He hit 37% of his threes. The part is he only hit 62% of his free throws. He's got to be up over 70% in this league. He's got to be better there.
Yeah.
But I would expect him to be the leading candidate to be the starting point guard when they start. I think he's the one that gets the first shot at it.
And then the true freshman when he comes in?
Shep Garner is a combo guard that can play both one and two. I think they would like to they probably will work with him at one so he can back up Foster while also getting him involved as a two. Isaiah Washington is strictly a 2-3 guy. He's not a one.
Yeah.
And I know that they are looking at obviously in the next signing period, they're looking at a big guy, a 6'8 guy whose name I'm not allowed to mention.
I understand that. No problem.
Right. And they also have a transfer coming in this weekend. That is taking a look at Penn State, and if he were to say yes, he'd have to sit out a year and then be eligible for the season after.
The following year?
Yes.
Okay. Well, two other quick things, and then I'll hang up and listen. As far as the golf tournament, I got my knees messed up, so I'll just come along and give you guys moral support.
Well, I need any kind of support we can get because, I mean, Kevin's going to be out signing autographs on the veranda.
Well, the old thing goes, everybody in the bunker.
There you go.
And, you know that picture they have of the three championship teams together? The volleyball, the fencing team along with wrestling?
Yes.
Well, I seen that in the blue-white paper illustrated. And this young lady standing alongside of Davy Taylor with his eyeballs glued next to him, like she's eyeing him up for something special, if you know what I mean. I don't know what, you know, if he's dating anybody, but I know there's a candidate there. There's a possibility. She's just got that look like, hey, Dave, you need to know me.
Okay. Appreciate it, Dave.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Oh, no, I told Steve, Kevin yesterday, getting birthday gifts for James Franklin's, the twin girls, sending it up there. Don't know their birthday, just to say, you know, your family.
Yeah, they aren't twins. Okay?
Yeah, I know. But I'm a twin, so... Yeah. But just saying, you know, Penn State family. Okay. Just send it up to you, because I don't know the birthday, but just kind of send it up and said, here it is.
Sounds good. Okay.
Okay. See you next Wednesday.
Looking forward to it, Dave. Thanks. Okay. And again, this is Make Kevin Feel Better Day. We are to agree with every opinion, no matter how bizarre. And...
No, today is a really good day. I mean, do you know what today is? Today's April 30th. It is the first time that IndyCars will be going backwards on the front stretch at Indianapolis as they're getting in some practice for next weekend's road course. It's a good day.
It's not the first time.
First time for IndyCar.
Yeah, Formula One's done it.
Yeah, if that doesn't count. No, I mean, first time for IndyCar. Formula One has done it for a couple of years, early 2000s. But, you know, this is the first time that IndyCar has been running the opposite direction at Indianapolis. It's a sight to see, Stephen.
I may have to rethink this. Donald Sterling. Now, obviously, I pointed out yesterday on the show about, look, don't put it past the players to boycott, which you, of course, poo-pooed.
I did not.
And it turned out, guess what?
That's what the plan was.
That was the plan. But I think Adam Silver, in all fairness to him, made the decision on his own, regardless of what they were thinking of doing. Now, as a lawyer, he did everything and kept it within the realm of the NBA Constitution. That's why he didn't exceed the $2.5 million fine. I think they're going to use Clause 13 to try and get him out, and you know the vote's going to be 29-0. You don't want to have an owner on the record saying, well, what do you mean it was 28-1? The next step for Donald Sterling will be, he'll, you know, is that based on his past history, you expect him to take it to court. And part of the argument of him taking it to court is going to be, well, first of all, this shouldn't have been out there to begin with. In California, it's illegal to tape conversations unless you have written consent. I didn't give written consent. Then it got out there, and then I'm going to lose the franchise over this? You're telling me I have to sell? Where's the clause here in the NBA Constitution that tells me I have to sell? Which then brings up the bigger question. What actually is the business? Is the business the Los Angeles Clippers? Or is the business the NBA? Because Kevin and I can start a rival league in the business entitled basketball, and we can challenge them with our own version of the ABA. Put a team in Tidewater, put a team in Kentucky, put a team in Sunbury, put a team in, you know, Vancouver, whatever we want to do. In the business of basketball, the NBA is, right now, they're the only professional basketball league. Now you're saying, well, Donald Sterling is the owner of the Clippers. Yes, he is. But Kevin and I could start a franchise in, say, Raleigh, North Carolina. Who are we going to play?
In-game scrimmages, which don't draw usually that many people on a regular basis.
Right. And that's my point.
Or in-team scrimmages, rather.
What is the business? To me, this is a lot like Papa John's, for example, pizza chain. Was it John Schmitter's his name?
I know it's John, but I can't remember the last name either.
And he's based out of Louisville. And Peyton Manning, of course, is, I guess, he's now a Papa John's franchise owner, correct? But I think, I'm sure, John Schmitter can strip him of ownership of the franchise or shut it down if he wants. I mean, Peyton Manning can't go rogue. And I think that's going to be an important question going forward. Even though Donald Sterling can sell the Clippers, and he'd be the one to get the profit, he'd also have to be the one to pay the capital gains tax. The question in the business of basketball, what really is actually the business? Is it the NBA and the Clippers are just a branch of it that's owned? And if the business is the NBA, I think they are entitled to tell him he can't have a branch.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Exciting time for us. It's Make Kevin Happy Wednesday.
I'm very happy. I'm extremely happy.
You have been a grumpy Gus for 3 weeks.
The open
Nothing
wheels,
makes you happy.
The open wheels are in Indianapolis. May is great. Love May.
It's April 30th.
Yeah, but it's considered May in Indianapolis. When the open wheels get to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, it doesn't matter what the calendar says. It's officially May.
And why are they running backwards, just for effect? Or?
Well, that's the way that they run the interior road course at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Is they take instead of crossing counterclockwise. What do you mean?
But why are they doing it?
Because there's a race scheduled in about a week.
Yeah, brother, they'll draw 12 fans.
I don't know about that. It's Indianapolis.
Oh.
Yeah, but listen, that's like saying Seattle isn't going to sell out in Seattle. I mean, Indianapolis is where all these teams are based. I mean, this is like their home. That's like going to Charlotte and not having anybody at a NASCAR race.
So you think that for a road course where they're running 124 miles an hour and not 224 miles an hour, that they're going to draw 200,000 fans?
No, I did not say that.
They'll draw 10,000.
No, I think they'll get probably about 60 or 70, but I don't think it'll be much more than that. Now, on Memorial Day weekend, it'll be hard to find a seat.
200,000 fans.
Yeah, it'll be hard to find a seat.
Yeah. Well, of course. It's the only race they have.
I'll tell you what, the Pocono, they said, remember what happened at Pocono last year? They sold, when we were up there on the Friday before the race, they had already sold more than they had estimated they would sell, and they were still selling tickets that day. They still had Saturday yet where they sold a ton of tickets, and they did over what they had expected to do, so they did more than break even for the race at Pocono, and I think that's why they really pushed. At least my opinion is they really pushed to make it a 500-mile race.
Look, I know we're trying really hard to make you happy here.
That's all right. Wait, 10 good seconds. I'm good. I'm feeling good.
Okay.
You can even speculate the NFL draft if you'd like right now.
I can speculate the NFL draft?
Sure,
if I want.
You can speculate on who the first pick's going to be. Merrill Hodge thinks if it's Clowney, it's a waste.
I think it's going to be Clowney.
So. And I think the first quarterback goes to Cleveland.
We have Charlie Campbell from WalterFootball.com coming up next week. We're going to go through the draft. Had Merrill Reese on yesterday talking about it.
Yeah, he said the first pick he thought was going to be a wide receiver, and it seems to be that everybody thinks it's going to be a wide receiver, all the quote-unquote experts.
You'll see. See what they want to do. Odell Beckham, is that that's what I've heard? LSU's guy?
Yeah. I like looking at Pat Kerwin's picks because usually he's really close. Prisco's really close, too. Pete Prisco of CBS Sports. And both those guys are going with Beckham from LSU.
He can run. Yep, he can run. That's why I think DeSean Jackson's going to be really good, by the way, for the Redskins. And he's going to be worth more than just 80 catches in a year. He's going to be worth about 130 catches in a year. If RG3 handles it right. Because there's a domino effect to having a receiver that can stretch the way he does, that is a dynamic playmaker like he is that he frees up everybody else to clean up an additional 50 catches with one-on-one coverage. And if you listen closely to what Merrill Reese was saying yesterday, that's what he was talking about, that they lose that domino effect of a receiver like him. Take, for example, in the punt return area. Punt return area for the Redskins just got a lot better because Jackson can take it to the end zone on any punt. Darren Sproles is very good. He's a really good punt returner. He can get you 9 yards on every punt return, maybe get one that's like an extra, like a 25-yard return. But the difference is that Jackson, on any punt, scares you to death that he's going to take it back to the house. Jackson on every punt makes you think where you want to punt the ball. Sproles, you can punt it down the middle and you feel like you can contain it to 9 to 12 yards max. You know, maybe he'll break one because he has a great feel for it, but he's not the game breaker that Jackson is. Jackson ends up being a game breaker for Washington. But not only that, I think he makes Santana Moss exponentially better because Moss isn't going to be the focal point of what's going on defensively. They're going to have to rotate their coverage toward Jackson. And I think it's going to free up Moss to have himself a really good year if RG3 can get him the ball. It's a big part of it. And I think that's what, in listening to Merrill, that's what I read into that yesterday.
Now, if you go on the other side of the state, the Steelers seem to be almost a lock at picking up a corner. And we talked about Denard being the popular choice, the Michigan State corner. Also, has been some discussion about Roby from Ohio State. But there's a new name that I saw pop up recently in the first round for the Steelers from a couple of mock drafts. And that was Justin Gilbert from Oklahoma State.
Well, that's only because they thought he'd fall that far. Many people think he'll be the first corner off the board. In mock drafts, the reason you're seeing him suddenly show up in mock drafts is they think he might fall to them.
Because that was the first time I had seen his name pop up, well, as you said, that low. I mean, they had him. Most everybody has him either going to the Lions or going to the Titans with picks 10 and 11.
Right. So he'd fall to them. He has better straight-line speed, which you're absolutely enamored with.
Yeah, but he's a little bit... He uses his hands a lot.
Denard is more of a one-on-one cover guy. He's more of a Steeler type of Dick LeBeau type of corner. Put him on an island, let him go. He'll make plays for you. Roby's not that kind of guy. Roby thinks he is. Roby isn't.
Roby thinks he is.
He does. He thinks he is. He kept yelling and screaming, "Yeah, I want Aberderis. I want Aberderis." All right, you got Aberderis. 224 years later, who shut down whom?
If you're going to speak up, you better be able to back it up.
Yeah, well, he didn't back up anything.
I think the only bad thing I've heard about Gilbert is that he gets a little bit grabby in some tight coverage. So he has to work a little bit on technique and footwork. But
you're absolutely right.
I love it when you patronize me. It's the best.
No, I'm... been so grumpy lately. what you're saying is correct.
I'm with you. I'm 100% behind you.
I agree. I think it's been your best show. Is there anything you said I can disagree with?
Now, if you're a Steeler fan or Eagle fan, while we have some time, we'll throw out the phone number at 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565. What direction do you want your team to go in the first round?
Great segue. I love that. That was great.
Listen, really, you're on top. Sense of security here pretty soon.
You're on top of your game today. I mean, I feel like I'm dealing with somebody who's throwing 98 on the slow gun.
On the slow gun?
Yeah.
You know what the TMZ story of the day is, don't you?
I've been anxious to find out. You know I love this stuff.
Winston, suspended from baseball, shoplifted some crab legs.
You know what? But here's the problem with him. Right? Let's get to what the problem with. Beyond the highly publicized case that didn't go forward, all right, is that it's been alleged that he's been involved in other things. Nothing major, nothing big, whatever. But, like, listen to what he has done. You listen to this. In November 2012, police were called to the apartment complex in which 13 windows had been damaged by BB guns. Winston and his roommate at the time said Florida State players were engaged in a series of battles with each other, and although they denied shooting BB guns themselves, Winston was not charged with a crime. In another incident, police records show that Winston came into a Burger King with three men, but did not order any food. Instead, asking for a water cup, he repeatedly filled it with soda over and over and over again, over an employee's objections. They say Winston was never interviewed about that incident because the restaurant just declined to prosecute it. Right? Minor nothing things. All right? But he constantly, I mean, if he wants to enter the NFL draft after the upcoming season, this stuff comes back to haunt him, and here's the reason why. I want my quarterback to have judgment. All these things show, crab legs, BB guns, Burger King, okay, minor and just whatever, show no judgment whatsoever. Zero. Show no judgment, no common sense, and shows an sense of entitlement.
Well, especially this last one. I mean, I may be rushing to judgment here, but I can almost understand if you were having a BB gun battle, and that's irresponsible, okay, I'm not saying, but I can almost understand, you know, oops, we accidentally shot some windows. Okay, I can almost buy that.
Yeah, whoops, 13 of them?
Right, but 13 of them makes it a little bit tough, right. And
okay,
then you follow
13?
It up. But then
whoops,
you follow
I
it
mean,
up.
Whoops is hitting one.
Right, right. But 13 sounds like you were playing your BB gun battle in a place where you probably shouldn't have in the first place.
Right.
Or you're trying to cover something up. But the one, the most recent one, he went into the supermarket. And this is, by the way, the statement that was released this afternoon. I went into the supermarket with the intent to purchase dinner, but made a terrible mistake for which I'm taking full responsibility. In a moment of youthful ignorance, I walked out of the store without paying for one of my items. You walked into the supermarket to buy dinner and walked out without paying for one of the items.
Yeah, but how'd you walk out without paying for one
yes.
of the items when you went through the line?
But see, this is what I don't get. That's what I don't get. And that's where you mentioned it in your last statement was a sense of entitlement. And that's where I think that comes through.
Bothersome. Big time bothersome. I mean, again, it's a judgment thing. I don't quite get the lack of judgment on his part as to what he does. And, you know, we haven't touched on at all because it's been gone over repeatedly as to what happened with or what didn't happen with the young woman.
See, if he would have come out and said that, you know, I wanted to go in there, I didn't have any money, so I just took them out. I almost would have bought that more than this. I intended to purchase dinner and just decided to walk out without paying for one of my items.
Last I checked, they were just given unlimited three meals a day by the NCAA plus unlimited snacks.
And it is baseball season. Dinner? Yeah.
What do you need to purchase dinner? Well, you can do it now for football. They have snacks all over the place there.
And this is the really interesting part. He didn't pay for one of the items, and the item was reportedly the crab legs. $32.72 worth of crab legs. So it wasn't just one or two crab legs.
Right. No, he's building up too much history of judgment here, where he has to dramatically grow up. No. Obviously. 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565. I mean, that's the problem. Is that the list is getting too long with him. Bob in Watsontown. Now, if anybody's going to make Kevin feel better day, it's Bob.
We've got to come up with a shorter name for this, though. That's really too long.
Well, I just on the way home, I heard you talking about this Winston quarterback. And to me, the one word you're missing is responsibility. Don't you think?
I said judgment, but, you know.
Well, I think this kid is a good athlete, and he has been for years. And I think he's been excused. This is just what you touched upon today is just what was brought out to the media. Can you imagine the other skeletons in his closet probably throughout the years of maybe high school and things like that he's done and covered up because of his athletic ability and maybe his parents?
How many times was he allowed to get away with something because he was a good athlete and the owner of the store or what have you, I'm just using that as an example, said, okay, we'll let it go this time.
Right. And he thinks this is just the way things are. He doesn't really know that he's doing anything wrong. He's done this all his life and figured, well, all right, whoops, I'll just say I'm sorry, and I'm back on number one again. You know what I mean? It's the incident with the young lady and stuff. You don't get to the point where you get charged with something unless you've been involved. I mean, I don't care if you were in the room or whatever, but if you weren't there at all and you had nothing to do with it, you weren't going to be charged by the local police or state police, whoever. So whether or not he was guilty of what he was doing, he had to have been there. And I just think the NCAA washing that whole thing under the rug and letting him play in the bowl was again something that they don't know how to handle right. I just don't. I mean,
Bob, you remember years ago
when Curtis Enos wasn't allowed to play in a bowl game because he took a suit from a recruiter, I guess it was, or an agent?
An agent.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I was here.
Yes. Now, isn't that something? A guy needed a suit, and just because he accepted that through somebody, he could not play in the bowl game. And after all that kid's been through, he was a good student, a good ball player, respectful of the game and people around him, and because he took a suit, he could not play in the bowl game. But this young man had allegations of sexual assault or whatever it was, rape, and yet they did nothing, and he went ahead and played in the bowl game.
Bob, I need to correct you on something, though. The NCAA didn't do anything wrong with him. They did not. In December, the state attorney in Florida decided not to charge Winston after he was accused of sexually assaulting a woman in an off-campus incident in 2012. And he had faced felony charges. Well, when they decided not to charge him, the NCAA there's no reason for the NCAA to say he can't play in the game because he's not charged with anything legally. It was the legal system to decide not to charge him. The NCAA can't sit there and go, you know what, how about some cowboy justice, we're suspending him, and they have no, they haven't investigated anything.
then let me ask you this. Then why does the Sandusky situation where we have a Spaniard and the other guy, and like you said, no charges has been brought against other than Mr. Sandusky, and he wasn't even in the program at the time as far as, you know, going back as far as they did taking the kids' wins away. I mean, other than him, he was the only one charged for his crime, but yet they penalized the football team and the two other men that haven't even gone on trial yet. And that look how many years that's been, and they haven't even seen any trial yet. And Sandusky's been locked away for what, almost a year now. I don't understand that.
He's been locked away really for 2 years now, and right. Look, Bob, anyone with common sense knows that it was a legal issue and not a sports issue. It just turned out it was a legal issue involving somebody who had been involved in sports. So, but
don't you think though the NCAA sticks their nose in sometimes and does things even though charges aren't filed? I mean, they reprimand kids, right?
That never happens, does it?
Right. But
come on, Kevin, help me out here, brother.
but in this case, when Jameis Winston, in a public press conference, when the state attorney in Florida says, we're not charging him with anything, the NCAA can't do anything about that.
Well, all right, that may be true, but the attorney now ought to look back and see that what he has done so far since that incident and say, what's going on with this kid? Maybe they should have charged him and looked into it further, don't you think?
Well, obviously they looked back into it, but they also looked into it a full year after it happened, which makes it difficult to investigate.
Yeah.
But when you go through and you talk to investigators, you talk to her, you talk to him, you have to make a decision. And at least in this case, as opposed to the Penn State case you talked about, they at least talked to and got the perspective from all parties involved, including him, and decided not to charge him. At that point, the NCAA has nothing to do with anything because they're not investigating anything, and he's not charged with anything, so legally he's clear and clean. So they can't touch him. Now, as for Penn State, you know, one of the more important things out of this is that two of the principals in all of this have never publicly said a word, and we're still waiting for they're waiting for their trials when they haven't had a chance to even defend themselves yet. And then it's up to us as to whether we believe them or not.
Right. But did the NCAA sent this free in to investigate this for Penn State, correct?
No, they did not.
Okay, so he was an independent investigator.
He was hired by Penn State to investigate everything.
And the NCAA
on November 17th sent a letter to Penn State 6 days after the Nebraska game, saying they had an intent to investigate, but never did, and then decided in July of 2012 to accept the free report as their investigation and then render justice. That's how it played out. Penn State paid for the free report.
Oh, I see. So they actually paid for their own hanging in a way. In other words, that they should have maybe just let the NCAA do their own investigation then.
Well, if the NCAA had done the investigation, it probably would still be going on, because it does, and I'm not saying that to knock them. If you notice the pattern over decades of the NCAA, it takes them a while to do investigations.
And so
I'm not putting them down. I'm saying that based on the pattern that we've seen over the years, NCAA investigations normally are not short. They take a little bit longer. And then once they do render a decision, the NCAA then offers you the right to appeal. Take, for example, Ohio State. When Ohio State went through and had their appeal, right? They were allowed to play the players in the Sugar Bowl, but then suspended them for the opening five games of the next season. Penn State was not allowed to appeal. See, this is where the NCAA is getting into an area where, in other words, they're accused by some of not following their own rules.
Correct. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. No doubt
about
that.
We have to hit the top of the hour. Bob, tell Kevin how great he is.
Hey, Kevin, you're great.
Thanks, Bob. I'm feeling good today.
No problem.
It's a good day.
I feel like I'm developing cavities with each call.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.